Redemption is the act of God in which He delivered us from our spiritual slavery based on the price that Christ paid with His blood at the cross.
This is the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Bill Wright. Today, as he continues in our series called When You're Weary with Sin, Don brings us part two of a message called Redemption for a Slave Like You, wrapping up his look at what it means to live in freedom from the dominating power of sin. Here again is Don Green to continue in his ministry of teaching God's people God's Word on the Truth Pulpit.
Now, we're gathered here today to remember and to understand and even to praise in response to the idea of redemption. We said that redemption was the act of God in which He delivered us from our spiritual slavery based on the price Christ paid with His blood. And so let's move from the bad news to the good news about this. Let's talk about the price of your redemption. The price of your redemption. You see, beloved, we were all in that position of slavery. And therefore, to us who are in Christ, redemption should be a most glorious theme to our hearts. And with that said, I invite you to turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. The book of Titus, chapter 2. Redemption, then, is a price paid to release us from slavery. What then, if we were spiritual slaves, what then was the price paid that we might be redeemed, that we might be delivered from our sin, from death, from the law? What was the price that was paid? Well, here in Titus chapter 2, Paul speaks of Christians as those in verse 13 who are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. When Christ gave Himself voluntarily on the cross as a sacrifice for your sins, He was doing that in order to pay the price that was necessary to redeem you, to deliver you, to bring you out of your prior slavery and into a different realm. He gave Himself for us, it says there, look at it with me in verse 14. He gave Himself for us. It tells us how Christ intervened on our behalf. And beloved, it's important for us not to let the familiarity of this passage or the theme to deaden our ears to the most wonderful truth that could ever be told to a soul. The Son of God left heaven to become a man, to pay a price in His own lifeblood that you might be redeemed from that slavery. There was a great master of infinite value who looked on us with compassion in our enslaved condition. And this great master with this infinite value laid it all down. And in an act of self-sacrifice, paid with His own life, with His own blood, that which was necessary to relieve you and to release you from your slavery. He's pretty wonderful. Look at it again there with me in verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us, to pay that price, to deliver us. Hit the pause button there for just a moment. Think back, even if it's painful, to your prior life before you came to Christ, your blasphemies, your many, many, many sins, your arrogance, your boastful heart, your angry ways, your abusive ways toward others, your complete neglect of God, the times where perhaps you even literally spit on His word, if not simply metaphorically, despising its authority, the times that you mocked those who brought Christ to you and tried earnestly to tell you the gospel, and you turned them away, you shunned them, you mocked them, you thinking even of things that I did, you know, as a college student, mocking the open-air preachers who were just trying to bring the word of life to whoever would stop and listen. Those and 1,000 other things like them, beloved, those and 1,000 other things like them manifesting how much you loved sin, how dead you were to God, and how hostile even you were to the very gracious Master who 2,000 years ago had paid the price for your redemption. And it's in that sense, it's with that memory that we look at verse 14 with me again in Titus chapter 2, the sheer splendor of what we're about to read. The utter majesty from another realm, from heaven, that there would even be something like this. That there would even be redemption from the God to whom you aimed all of your rebellion. That same God would aim redemption for a slave like you. Look at it. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. A complete comprehensive mercy for all of that rebellion of which we've just briefly looked back into the abyss to recall what we were like, and to think that the sinless, the matchless, the wondrous Son of God gave himself to redeem you from that condition. And beloved, don't lose sight of the fact that this is God the Son not sending a proxy, not creating someone else to bear the price, as if it could all be placed on a scapegoat while he went unharmed by the encounter. Scripture says that he himself paid the price. And what a price it was. What a price it was to bear in those dark hours on the cross the infinite wrath of God against unlimited sin by all of the people that Christ aimed his redemption for and actually literally bought with his shed blood on the cross. He paid it himself. He paid it himself, beloved. A price that you could never have paid because sin was not going to release you. The law was not going to release you. Death was not going to release you from their grip. They owned you. They liked it that way. You were theirs. And you couldn't do anything about it. And then this gracious, full of glory, Master comes from heaven, bearing in his own lifeblood the price that is necessary to pay, and he spills it out at Calvary. Not because he needed to be free, but because he wanted you to be free. and he wanted you to be free enough that he would lay down his own life. He preferred your salvation in fulfillment of the Father's eternal plan. He preferred your salvation to his own lifeblood and his own life breath. Well might we sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. And so as we remember redemption, we remember that a price has been paid to set us free. At the beginning of our service, I read 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, and I'll read it here again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 says this. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. It wasn't anything earthly that was paid for your redemption. No, look at verse 19. It was with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Verse 20, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Redemption. At the price of infinitely worthy blood for you. For you. That was the price paid for your redemption. But let's take it just a step further and work this out all the way through. And just briefly look at the accomplishment of redemption. The accomplishment of redemption. We've said that in your prior slavery, you were a slave to sin, you were a slave to the law, you were a slave to the fear of death. And as you read through the New Testament, what you find is that the redemption of Christ specifically addressed each of those aspects of your prior slavery. And so we're going to look for just a moment at the accomplishment of your redemption. You see, in redemption, Christ freed you from sin. He freed you from the dominating power of sin. Look at Romans chapter 6 with me, and we'll turn to these passages. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 20, Romans chapter 6, verse 20, it says, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now look at it, verse 22. But now, as a Christian, now in Christ, but now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have been freed from sin by the payment of the ransom price that Christ made at the cross. Scripture declares that to be an actual fact about you. Not that you are in sinless perfection now, but the prior dominating power of sin has been broken. Those chains have been taken away. You now belong to Christ, and you are under his lordship. He is now your master. And a new master with new power and mercy forevermore is over you rather than your prior master of sin. In redemption, Christ freed us from sin. In redemption, Christ freed us from rules-based righteousness. Freed us from the law. Look at Galatians chapter 4. If you're in Romans, go past the Corinthian letters and you'll find Galatians waiting for you. Galatians chapter 4. These things just get more and more magnificent the more that you study them and the longer you go. This doesn't get old. I've preached on redemption a number of times. And every time it gets better. This is one of the ways, one of the incidental evidences that what we preach is true. You can't exhaust it and it doesn't get old to the believing heart. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. While we were children, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. Verse 4, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law. He might deliver them. He might pay the price that they might receive, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Beloved, redemption here is described as an act which delivers you out from under that rules-based righteousness, that dominating power of the law that you could never satisfy and never meet, that could only condemn, not deliver and forgive. It says you've been delivered from under that slave master and you've been brought into a different realm. You, beloved, you and I who once were slaves to sin, slaves to the law, slaves to the fear of death, have been redeemed from that slavery and brought into a realm where now we can rightly be called the sons of God, enjoying family privileges, brought into a relation of love and mercy and kindness and patience with the God who had every right to condemn you and send you to hell. That is what redemption has done for you. It delivered you from a law that condemned and brought you into a realm of a God who accepts, forgives, and has declared you righteous based on the merit of His perfect Son. So that the law no longer has claim over you. The law can no longer condemn you because Christ fulfilled everything that the law required in its precepts and in its penalty. Christ, in His righteous life, fulfilled everything that the law demanded. In His death, paid the price for every transgression of the law for everyone who would ever believe in Him. So that all of the demands of the law have been satisfied, that master has no more claim on you. It cannot condemn you any longer. You've been brought out from under it. And that fear of death of which we spoke, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 14, it says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself, meaning Christ, of course, likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Brought out from freedom, brought out from fear of death, I should say. How is it that the Christian has no fear of death? Well, we understand an awfully lot about it now. We belong to one who has passed through death and come out on the other side. When you're united with Him, it means that you will come out safe on the other side as well. We realize that death is the penalty for sin, and Christ, having resurrected, shows that He paid the price that death required in full. Therefore, for those of us who are in Christ, there's no fear of condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not afraid of death. Why should I be? Death has lost its sting, 1 Corinthians 15. I'm not going to be condemned when I die. I'm not going to hell when I die, because I belong to a master who conquered death and hell, who owns me, who paid the price for me, who's now I am, so that when I die, I will be with him, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. In the words of Philippians 1, Paul said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, for that's very much better. And so, the Christian who knows truth is delivered completely from the fear of death. From its chains, you have been completely and utterly delivered. Redemption's pretty great, huh? You see, Christ brought you out from sin in order to bring you under the rule of your gracious God. Well, briefly, just let me make a fourth and final point. What is the implication of this redemption? What's the implication of this redemption? We'll talk about this more in a couple of weeks when as we've gotten back into the book of Philippians. What's the implication of redemption? Beloved, Christ redeemed you. That means that you now are his slave. You belong to him. You see, there's an implication when we call him Master and Lord. We call him Master and Lord, recognizing his sovereign authority over our lives. He paid for you, therefore he owns you now. He didn't pay the price in order to spin you off into orbit so that you could just be whatever you wanted to be without regard to him, without regard to the master who paid the price for you. No. What kind of perverse travesty did Dallas Seminary launch on the world in their views of salvation? It said you could be an unbelieving believer and other foolish things like that. No, Christ redeemed you. You are his slave, devoted to his glory. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20 says it plainly. You have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. The implication of redemption is that you belong to the one who paid the price for you. And therefore he has a righteous, gracious claim on your life, on your affections, on your resources, on every aspect of your existence. It all belongs to him. And the true Christian, upon hearing that, says, yes, amen, hallelujah, I'm glad to be under that master. Hi, I saw what my life was like apart from his lordship. I was a slave to sin. I was afraid to die. I was trying to be good enough, and I never could be. Now, delivered completely from these things, I am under the gracious rule of Christ, who paid a price for me. Then all I want to do, the Christian says, all I want to do is glorify the one who paid such a magnificent, rich price for my soul when he was under no obligation to do so. I am on the receiving end of amazing grace. And so, of course, I want to glorify him with my body. It pains me that I don't do a better job of it. It pains me that I still fall short. But I recognize who my Lord is. I recognize my master, and I gladly own him. As one said, one place in another time, perhaps another context, I gladly sit in willing bonds at his feet. How important is the doctrine of redemption? One writer said this, and I quote, he said, no word in the Christian vocabulary deserves to be held more precious than Redeemer. For even more than Savior, it reminds the child of God that his salvation has been purchased at a great and personal cost. The Lord has given himself for our sins in order to deliver us from them. Hallelujah.
That's Don Green, bringing today's lesson to a close on the Truth Pulpit. Well, friend, if you'd like to hear this message again, please do visit thetruthpulpit.com. You'll find this teaching, along with all of Don's Bible studies, available to you 24 hours a day. And if you'd like to support this Bible teaching ministry financially, you can do so at the same web address. Again, it's thetruthpulpit.com. We're out of time for today. I'm Bill Wright, hoping you can join us next time as Don Green continues teaching God's people God's Word here on the Truth Pulpit.